It's week, we believe it's week six. Week six, I'm looking at producer Simon in the corner. We think it's week six of the Finding Peace series. You are on The Elaborators. My name's Justin. I'm one of the pastors at Werribee Baptist Church. If you're listening to this from anywhere else in the world and you don't know who the heck we are, why don't you check us out on werribeebaptist.org.au and all the socials and say g'day and say, hey, I heard your podcast. That'd be really good. We're in week six of our Finding Peace series and we've talked a little bit about the power of negative thinking. So we're going to get some guests into the studio really soon. Phil and Gail Wilson, who have been part of our church here for many, many years and major contributors to the teaching and especially the prayer life of our church as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. But while we're talking to you and while you're listening to the podcast, please don't forget, go to the socials. Check out all of the different options that we have for you to just follow up on a few of the things that we've talked about over the last 6 weeks. Did you know you can get all of the sermon notes on werribeebaptist.org.au. You can check it out on the app and get some of the notes. You can watch the socials and check out some of the key points that are spoken about every week as well. And of course, if you'd just like a little bit of care and a little bit of prayer, get in touch with us here at Werribee Baptist. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love to pray with you and just try and help you through what you're going through. But ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the studio for the first time on The Elaborators, not only Phil, but Gail Wilson.
Hi, everybody.
Sorry, that applause did not go for long enough.
Hello.
Sorry. Phil's here now, so he gets... Just because I haven't been able to use that one for a while, that's all.
Well, that's a fair enough assessment of my personality.
Are you feeling at peace in the podcast studio?
No.
Well, this is a grand start. It really, really is. Many of you will have seen Phil being our Dr. Phil in a lot of our things here at WBC. And hey, I reckon you should go and check out some of the Dr. Phil videos on our YouTube channel because I spent a lot of time making them during COVID.
Yes, you did. You did.
We did. And it was fun.
And it was fun.
Well, probably it helped me keep my sanity during COVID.
I'd like to think that I had something to do with your sanity during COVID. Or lack of...
Positive or negative?
It was positive.
Oh, good.
I'm telling you. Surely he came home happier.
Actually, he did.
He did. Yes. After he'd spent 2 hours creating 3 minutes of film with me.
Yes, true.
So there it is. Now, by the way, you two, I'm a little bit excited to have you here because a couple of things have happened for you. I believe it was somebody's birthday.
It was last week. Yes.
Was it your birthday?
It was. Yes.
And how are we allowed to say?
My eldest grandson reminded me that I'm now 3/4 of a century old.
3/4 of a century! Yay! That's an effort. That's a real effort. Congratulations on that. Now, the other thing that I think that is worth mentioning is that we're supposed to be giving you, you know, elaborating on peace and stuff, but we got to celebrate the fun things too. You two had a wedding anniversary as well.
We had an engagement anniversary.
Oh my goodness. Hang on. Are you those people? Do you celebrate all, like, is there three engagements? What is happening?
What it is, Gail put a post on Facebook that said 50 years ago we got engaged.
Oh.
And it was quite clear engaged. A lot of people thought.
Sorry, did you hear that? He's saying, Justin, it was quite clear what I said and you have misinterpreted.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not true. It's not me, it's you.
Well, I'm a school teacher. Now, the thing is,
I got the spelling incorrect as well.
50 years ago, we got engaged.
Yeah.
It's 49 years of marriage in January. So
49 years. That's nice, isn't it? I don't know. Does this... That's kind of the magic. Doesn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story.
You will. I'm sure you will. Elaborate for me, Dr.
Well,
Phil.
Well, see, I being me, had totally convinced in my mind that we got engaged on Remembrance Day.
Right.
And I kept telling Gail, you're wrong. It was Remembrance Day. It was not the 10th every year. You're wrong.
Hang on. For 48 years, you've been sticking to this?
For about 46
years, you were sticking.
About 4 years ago,
okay.
I suddenly realised she was right, so I had to apologise.
Wow.
After all those years, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's nice. Well, congratulations to the two of you, and congratulations once again on being right, Gail.
Absolutely. Loved every minute of it.
There was for all of those who aren't watching this, there was a grin probably double the size of Gail's usual grin that just came across her face then as she realised she was right. No, it's exciting. Well, congratulations on what is it, 50 years of post-engagement?
Yeah.
Look, so is that 51 years of knowing each other? How many years did you say?
First met in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
But officially met in 1972 when I was already at Bible College and Philip came in for his first year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. By the way, I think it's adorable that you call him Philip. Can I start doing that too?
You can call me what you like, son, so long as it's never late for a meal.
Hey!
Boom, boom.
Oh, sorry. I totally missed my cue there.
Thank you.
That's all right. Now, we've been talking about finding peace. Now, one of the things that we obviously talked about over the weekend that has just happened at Werribee Baptist is this idea of the power of negative thoughts, the idea that your life will go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And of course, scripturally speaking, we approach that from casting our mind and our cares toward God and actually fixing our mind and our cares on Him. One of the ways that you two particularly have spoken into the life of the community of faith around here is through prayer. And not just saying, go pray. Hey, everyone, we should pray. You actually give us a little bit of insight into how to pray because I'm sure you'd agree, prayer is one of those things that any person of faith goes, yeah, I pray, yeah, no worries. But for you two, it's been an absolute passionate drive to help people find their own rhythm of prayer and find different ways to pray. So has there been something that has worked? I'll just go straight to you two for your own testimonies. How do you go about using prayer in your life to find peace?
Well, that's a very good question. I've been pondering this question for many, many, many years about how to approach God in prayer.
Right.
I look at Jesus and I think if he desired to spend time in prayer with his Father, then so do I have to do that. But not have to as a, oh, I've got to do that, but the pleasure of going to my Father in prayer. Now, that's one of the most difficult things I find for myself personally. I can pray for lots of people, but myself I find it very, very not as easy. But the thing is, we have done many, many years of prayer ministry. We went to what we called prayer schools many years ago.
Prayer schools?
Yeah, what's it called?
Okay, so like a lesson on how to pray, do you mean?
It was setting aside time, going away for a couple of days with a team where we prayed for each other.
Wow.
We learnt the biblical aspect of praying, lots of practical help, and it has encouraged us all these years on how to pray for not only ourselves but for other people.
So this was very early on. When was that?
When I was prepping for ordination with the Baptist Union, I was once the Reverend Philip Wilson.
Ah, we can call you the Reverend. We take liberties and call you the Doctor. Why not?
Well, I actually handed me revs back. But the thing, one of the guys that was mentoring me, a dear friend, I tear up every time because he's gone to be with the Lord, and it's a big thing. And he was mentoring me and he said, listen, he said, I reckon you should go to this Victorious Ministry Through Christ prayer school, because he was involved in that. So off I went.
Sorry, what was the guy's name? I didn't...
Kevin Smith.
Yeah. I acknowledge Kevin.
Yeah. And so I went and the change in me was noticeable. Gail noticed the change in me, dealt with some things. And then after I'd been through a couple of schools, Gail went.
When you say schools, let's just dig a little.
Days
together.
What they would call them now would be a retreat,
right?
Where you actually went, you had some teaching, people prayed with you, and then you began to learn how to praise the wrong word. To let the Spirit lead. Mm. And over time, in a sense, you got some confidence in sensing the presence of God and what he was saying to you. Years later, when we moved here, Kevin and Belle, his wife, had moved to Benlock, and they were starting to do some prayer schools themselves, a little bit different to VMTC, because there were some guidelines with VMTC that prevented... the guidelines of VMTC basically, it was called the clergy school of prayer.
Right? Okay, so if you weren't a clergyman, you weren't invited
or you had to be sponsored by your pastor.
Okay,
well,
right.
So anyway, so all of that taught us a great deal, but the most important thing it taught us is the sense in which we have to be honest before God. So when we talk about the power of negative thoughts, as was on Sunday, what we realize is that if you want to know God better, right, experience him more, you have to discover what it is that is hindering you in your life. And so meeting with people in that sort of environment is basically saying to people, what is God saying to you? That'd be right, wouldn't
it? It's a very big question, isn't it? But I just want to pick up on the idea that in all of these examples, there is a coming away kind of scenario. I signed off for the weekend. I left my home. I went away deliberately to a place that there was structure in that day that allowed time in that day. Gail, is that something that was new to you at the time, or was it an affirmation of something you were already doing?
No, it was very new, that aspect of going away and opening up your life before God. And always we were taught you pray with two other people. Always a male and always a female.
Okay.
Because you have a different aspect of looking at things.
Okay.
You see, and it was allowing the Spirit to work together. Yes, it was a new experience, excuse me, but it was the most amazing, amazing experience. And
When you remember that, because we're talking about the 70s here, but you're recalling a moment and it's... 80s at this point. 80s at this point. 80s. But it's coming back. I can see the gleam in your eye as you're thinking about these moments. They're that fresh. They were life changing for you, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because God showed me through the Spirit working in the two people that prayed with me and for me, and showed me aspects of my life that I needed Him to work in me and through me to rid me of whatever, and it's an ongoing process.
Of course,
it hasn't stopped.
There's a purifying, isn't it? So is it, that's something that now, again, there's multiple ways of prayer. Probably a lot of people that are listening right now would be thinking, when they think of prayer, it's me and God, and there's that individual, just me stopping and praying. Usually they're the dear God, please help kind of moments in our life. A lot of us talk about trying to get a rhythm in our daily life that has to do with the prayer aspect. But this is specifically about gathering with others, which I can imagine for a lot of people would be very awkward, and potentially they'd be worried about the words that would come out of their mouth. How do you encourage people to sort of go through a process like that in a safe way?
Often we... excuse me.
Would you like some water? We've got some water there.
Yep. Yeah. Before we, our experience is before we actually meet with somebody to pray with them.
I should point out, this is actually a practice that you and Phil do together with others. If others ask for prayer, you'll often meet with them. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right.
We meet with them often first to explain what we're on about. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of prayer ministry together, you see, male and female.
Sure.
But to encourage people, it's not a threatening thing at all. It is the most beautiful thing to come before God and say, clean me up.
Right, well.
And the most beautiful thing about God is he doesn't point out A, B, C, D and all these things in your life all in one go that you think, oh, it's overwhelming, I can't deal with it. he points out one or two things, mainly one thing at a time. He might say, you've got an anger issue. Let's look at that. Or you know, whatever the issue might be. Very, very gentle God that he is.
So this is the idea again, the understanding of the nature and the character of the God that we pray to and worship, which is very much again, and Phil and I have probably covered this in a few things back in the day when we talked about the nature and the character of God. But God is not a God who is waiting for you to talk to him so you can admit you're a bad person so he strikes you down, right?
No.
I just wanted to double check.
The thing that I'm still wrestling with is the inner corruption in my life. Right.
Ooh.
Because
wow, that's a big term, but that's how it feels.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the standard theological way of explaining it.
Sorry, but did I just get a theological slap again?
No.
It's Justin, that's the standard term. You should know that.
No, it's not that at all. It's what I mean. It's just the way I am. I'm warped up here now.
Let's elaborate on that, Phil, and his warpedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because look. When I was teaching,
so your wife is currently losing it.
Well, I love the expression because it's so true.
Sorry, you need another one. We were talking about serious things. Elaborate on what it was.
Well, okay. When I was on the staff of the Bible College of Victoria, we got a new principal, Arthur Cundall, and Arthur, another guy who's gone to be in glory. Absolutely godly sort of bloke. Right, godly sort of bloke. Arthur stands up one day and says, the more holy people say I am, the more I know I'm not. And I'm sitting there, because I'll be about 36, something like that.
So you knew everything then?
No, yeah, that's right. So I'm sitting there thinking, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
I now know what he's talking about, right? People say, oh, you're godly. And I go, if you really knew what I was like inside, you would never say that, right? Because what happens, as Gail's saying, is that as you progress, right? So this power of negative thinking, the power of negative words, the different things that's been talked about over the thing and the peace, right? There are some Christians who would argue that, you know, all you got to do is A, B, C, and you got peace forever. And for some people, that seems to be the case. But it's never been the case for me, right? As I have the peace of God, and I do. But the only old expression that you've heard preached, well, you might not because you're young, but they used to talk about this when I was
young. I love that you think I'm young. That's so sweet.
When I was younger, they used to say, now you've seen the duck, right, on the water.
Right.
Looks so serene, just sitting there. But if you get underneath, you'll see the paddle, you know, it's going hammer and tong to keep going. And they would say that's like your life, right? You've got a sense in which you have the peace of God. But there's a whole lot of stuff going underneath that God is still working on, right, that you're actually having to deal with.
So there's peace as a baseline.
Yeah.
The piece as a baseline is I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm known. That's the baseline.
That's it.
From there, as you've grown, and again, we've described, you met at Bible college, you've done ministry together in churches and in your home and everywhere, really. It's just part of your existence, really, as far as I can tell. It's sort of part of your natural language together as a couple. But as you've worked with others and prayed with others, it challenges you to offer those same prayers for yourselves? Is that sort of a good description?
Yes. I view life as the onion, you know, the old saying that when you peel an onion, one layer goes, but there's another layer underneath.
Right.
And that's what life is. That's what God is doing, getting rid of the layers of the onion, you see, to get to the core eventually. It's a lifelong process, peeling that onion.
We need a better analogy, don't we? We need something that ends up with something sweet in the middle. Is it an onion that has a lolly in the middle, maybe? Can somebody work on that for us?
I think one of the things with that illustration, which is brilliant, right, is because what you discover is, okay, one of the things that was dealt with in prayer ministry with me, my first prayer school, because I used to have a really bad temper. And it was totally under control, but I was starting to lose control.
Mm-hmm.
So they said to me in the session, well, Phil, is there anything? I said, yeah. I said, I'm just a bit worried that I got, you know, I can't control my temper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I had two exceptionally gentle people dealing with me. And they, you know, they talked to me and they said, now, well, why do you think you have a temper? I said, well, unfortunately, my dad had one. But, you know, if he was going to lose it, he'd walk out of the house.
Right.
Like, so they said, this beautiful person says, so is it possible that you just might think that having a temper that you can control is okay?
Mm.
And I said, yeah. And then the crunch comes. What do you think God might think of that?
Yeah.
And the answer is, he wouldn't think that was a good thing. Right, you see, because the reality is that what I had done to accept something in my life that wasn't quite right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that was me controlling my life.
Okay.
And not
God
controlling
right.
my life.
So the idea so is to surrender temper, surrender that.
Yeah, my temper, which was okay because I didn't lose it, didn't do anything, whatever.
Mm.
But the reality is that that was something that God had no access into my life over. So that's what I mean about still wrestling with my inner corruption. There are still areas in my life where God either has limited control or no control.
Yeah, and it's that idea that you can only be led in the areas you let go, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, whatever you let go of, whatever you're trying to lead in your own life, you let go of it and let God lead. And that's the process of...
And see, so that's part of this whole series, which is about peace, right? Mm. Peace is a given. This is a bit, right? I have peace with God because Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world. I'm part of the world. My sin is forgiven. When I die, I will rock up to the glory throne.
Hmm.
And David Bowen, great Bible teacher.
I thought you were going to go with David Bowie there for a second.
No, David Bowen. Bowen, great Bible teacher. I heard him say this once and it just has resonated ever since. He said, I'll rock up to the throne. This is what he said. He said, I'll rock up to the throne. The book will be open and it would say, David Bowen. And a voice would say, it's all right. He's one of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that is a great Australian way of putting something.
Yeah.
But that is the peace with God. When we face the judgment seat of God, there'll be a voice that will say, it's okay. He's one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have complete peace about that. But life is not peaceful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you live any life. I mean, you know, the days when I have to apologize to Gail every day. by the way, I respond to her, right? Which is a response that is not godly many times, which is a sign in which the peace of God is not controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
See how that. When you start to make that thought that I have complete peace with God.
Yeah.
I'm at complete rest with God. I go to God in prayer. I don't have to plead with him to listen to me because he is.
Yeah.
But I have to talk to him about all the things in my life that don't measure up to the standard that Jesus set.
Is that comes down to that kind of expression of he loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
So we're going to run out of time really quickly because we always do. And Gail, we will blame Phil once more for that. that's okay. You are on the Elaborators, and my name's Justin, and we've got Phil and Gail, who are part of our crew here at Werribee Baptist Church, and they've been leading a lot of the drive in prayer meetings, the gathering of people that come together and just pray about general things. Then obviously the prayer with individuals and lots of different ways of praying. For those who are listening right now, give us like a simple tip or two on how to just engage prayer in our lives, even as we're driving the car or sitting at home listening to this podcast. What's a simple way that you've been able to engage prayer that would encourage us to live in that place of peace and know that God's still working on us?
I think for me it is there is a time, setting aside a time to pray, which is very difficult for a lot of us to do because of life and what have you, but learning to pray just as you go through every minute of the day you might see something, oh, God, I just bring that to you. Or you see somebody and you can think, oh, often walking in the plaza I see people and I say, oh, Lord, I pray
just
that
pray
person
for, yeah.
would find Jesus one day.
Mm.
That sort of thing. But there is an issue for each of us as individuals to allow the Spirit to work in our lives to free us to be more Christ-like. That's a lifelong process. It's not easy at times because of the things that we're shown in our lives. You know, I've got a whole list of stuff that, you know, God has been working on through all these years, but it's bringing freedom. I thought yesterday, after listening to all this series that we've had these last Sundays, there's not one of us alive today who does not have an issue that God needs to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of letting go. And again, I come back to this Matthew 11 scripture that we've talked about a lot, but the when Jesus declares, he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. He says, come away with me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So what did you call it? Internal corruption?
I'm not going to tell you what my internal
corruption is.
This is a public broadcast.
This is not a confessional,
you know,
ladies and gentlemen.
crikey.
No, Jesus said come to him. Justin didn't say come to me.
Poor strike. Probably if I'd have said all that stuff, you probably would have had about 28,000 people. Might have got a million followers. Now,
a million followers. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been so lovely spending a few moments elaborating with Phil and Gail Wilson. Thank you for your 50 years of marriage and your...
Yeah, 49 years.
Still don't know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not. I was going to say you met on the 10th, not the 11th. Is that right?
No, we got engaged on the 10th.
Oh, my goodness. These are the important things.
Well, the first time we saw each other was Belgrave Heights Convention, 1971. She thought I was a jerk. I thought she was stuck up.
I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know, but I need prayer. God bless you. We'll see you next time on The Elaborators.